Welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. And good morning again to everybody. I'm Amnon Nissan, and here with me is Larry Dial. And we have two guests, Jim Settle of Settle Services and Technology, and Mark Shuttleworth of Thought Consulting. And this segment of the show is sponsored again by Computer Renaissance, with two locations, two great locations in Raleigh now. One in the Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary, and another one in Raleigh in the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. Go visit them. They have great used equipment and some new equipment. Yes, Larry?
Some new equipment now?
They have some new equipment now.
They have new cables.
Yeah. Great cables. That's it. Larry, you raised your hand. You had two questions.
I answered.
That's enough.
He's playing ringmaster today. Yeah. I have a question for Mark.
Yeah.
Because I'm really intrigued by what he does, but I don't know what it is. I wondered if he could explain to the average person out there, what does your company do?
Okay.
How do you make money?
We're officially called a certifying authority. Let me go into some detail as to what we do and why it's valuable for people. We've known for years, and the technology has been available for years, that if you have a cryptographic key for somebody, then you can send them a message in private, right? So if I have a key for you, then I can send you a message that only you could ever decrypt. And that's the basis for security on the net and secure commerce. What's missing out of that puzzle, though, is the ability for you to find somebody's key, or the ability for you to know when you're presented with the key exactly who it belongs to. And that's what we do. We certify keys. So if you generate a key for yourself that you want other people to use when they send you secure messages.
Yes. Explain to people what a key is, because I'm sure that people have even
been... The thing in your pocket.
They're very similar, actually.
Shut up over there.
Except it's not physical.
That's right.
A cryptographic key is just a very, very big number.
Right.
Typically, we use keys that are generated under what's known as the RSA algorithm. It's a very popular cryptographic algorithm. And essentially, the key there consists of two very, very big prime numbers, which you generate. And the beauty of the system is that if you're smart, you generate that key and you keep it very secret. No one will ever be able to decrypt messages that are encrypted to that key. So what we do is we receive requests from people all over the world, about 70 different countries, saying this is our key and this is who we are. And then we have to validate their identity. Obviously, the procedures that we use to validate a company's identity vary from state to state, from country to country, sometimes down to the region or regional level. Once we're satisfied that they are who they say they are, we then sign what's known as a digital certificate, which contains their key and the name. They can then present that certificate instead of just handing out the key. And people then have confidence that they are who they say they are, and that they know who, for example, they're giving their credit card number to. And that's going to get more and more important as people start handing out the credit card details over the net.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, I know you have a take on that. Never mind, he doesn't want to
talk about it. Oh, yeah. Here we go again.
Understand one thing.
So much fun.
The services that Mark's company is providing, in my opinion, and in most people's opinion, is a very important service. It's something that's not going to go away. It's something that gives people good feeling about doing business and transactions, money transactions over the net. So don't expect through our measly 10,000 watts to change anybody's mind. But tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, let me ask this. Do you look at the golden goose's legs, the golden egg? I think sometimes you need to look at it a little closer. Then I'll ask Mark, give Mark a chance to actually respond to this, because I think we can get
sure,
a good interaction going here on this thing. Well, see if this answer is right or wrong in your opinion. The validity of the certificate issued by the certificate authority is no more valid than the authority that issues it.
That's basically true.
Okay. Who sets the standards to become a certificate authority? Internationally.
Okay. There's no such thing as a single certificate which will then prove your identity for all purposes, for all transactions, and in any environment. For example, if I'm going to use my credit card in the year 2000, I'll be using a certificate. But that's a certificate that will be issued by my bank. And it's a certificate that essentially says that I have the right to access a particular bank account. Within that context, there's only one entity that can ever issue that certificate and have it valid, and that is the bank, because the bank is essentially vouching for its ability to make good transactions against one of its bank accounts.
But somebody has to authorize that bank to be a certificate authority.
Okay.
Who does
that? And the answer there is very simple. That bank is part of a worldwide infrastructure, which we call the card processing infrastructure. And there are standards and requirements that determine its operations within that infrastructure. If a bank doesn't play by the Visa, MasterCard, Discover, Novus, JCB rules, it no longer gets to issue those cards. So within that industry, we have very clear operational rules as to what it requires, what it takes to be a bank, a card issuer. And a certificate is really just a token signed by somebody within that infrastructure saying that this card holder has been issued a card by them. So the answer is, yes, a certificate is only as good as the person that issues a certificate. But that doesn't mean that we should have one almighty body which, you know, issues one certificate to every citizen of the world, which then gets used for everything. Nonsense.
I'm not going to
be used in tiny little markets. Like, in, you may get a certificate that allows you to access the Wall Street Journal site for 5 days. The only person who's ever going to be, you know, in a fit position to issue that is Wall Street Journal, and that certificate will only ever be used by accessing the Wall Street Journal site. Now, we're in a slightly unusual position because we certify identity in a generic sense. We're not issuing a certificate that then gives you access to a bank account that we control. We're saying for the public record, we believe that this entity has the right to the name Office Depot in Raleigh, North Carolina. So yes, we are crossing the gap between, you know, issuing certificates which are then entirely under our own control and making recommendations.
Really, all you're doing is you're telling the surfer that Office Depot is a legal entity, that they're really doing business in Raleigh, North Carolina. They do have a store there. It is for real. It's not just an address somewhere. You're not going to throw your credit card into the wind.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
that you should just hand out your credit card number to any site that's been certified.
Right. No, I understand. But
we would issue a certificate to, you know, to any entity that is officially registered.
Right, that's what I mean. All you're certifying is that there are really somebody.
Yeah.
That it's not just
you
somebody.
You then have to take a value decision as to what that means to
right.
you.
Yeah.
All we say is that this is IBM in Florida.
You're not certifying that that entity
we don't certify
is
their operations. We don't, certify their network
right.
security.
Right.
So it's wrong to say that we create security.
I know. That's what I mean.
But we're not just saying that this is the company. We're saying that this transaction from Office Depot, for instance, is in fact an Office Depot. This transaction, electronic transaction, is certified. We're not just certifying the company when we do this. We're certifying that one single electronic transmission that takes place. That's what digital signature is. That's what a certificate authority is issuing. The certificate.
Yeah, in that case, the transaction is issue of the certificate. We don't certify the transactions. You know, if we issue a certificate to Office Depot and they then allow you to place orders for your suppliers online, we're not certifying those second-tier transactions. We're certifying the identity of Office Depot.
Yeah, but you're not
finding their identity to that key.
You don't give them a certificate and say you can do 6,000 transactions off of that.
Sure we do.
If you do, it's totally invalid. It means nothing.
Sure we do.
What digital signature standard is that every single transaction, like if you and I have a transaction and Larry and I have a transaction, or you and Larry have a transaction, is we have a different certificate for each one of those transactions, which
verifies
that transaction.
If that was the case, then there would be no point in having certificates. The beauty of having a certificate is that you can then use it without a prior relationship between two parties, you know, between and the people that you want to transact with.
Yeah, but you don't have one certificate that covers 50,000 transactions.
Sure
that means absolutely nothing.
No.
What does it tell you? It tells you nothing.
Clarify one certificate for 50,000 transactions.
What does it prove?
Certificate for ABC Company to have 50,000 surfers coming into the site and looking at that site and going out
and knowing that it's ABC.
Is that what you're talking about? 50,000 transactions.
First place is if Larry and I want to have a transaction, Mark is a certificate authority. He issues me a certificate. That certificate certifies to Larry that I'm who I say I am, and that this particular electronic transmission, not the contents, but the transmission, is in fact me. And he can accept that,
right.
And it certifies the validity of the contents, not that the contents are fact, but that they've at least transpired and it's who it says it is. It's the same as using any public key structure without the public key.
But because he certified you,
Use public keys. I mean, they're based upon public key infrastructure. A certificate contains a public key. The keys form the basis for the privacy of the communication.
You've got to have the key, right?
The certificate then turns that into a private authenticated transmission. Let me give you an example, all right?
Go ahead.
Amnon, I could give you a certificate that has your name and, you know, geographical location in it. If you then send a letter to the National Inquiry and Inquirer and digitally signed it, okay, we wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have broken faith with our customers.
Right.
We are saying that you are who you say you are.
Right.
We're not vouching for the validity of the content of any letter that you may send. But we're saying that the National Inquirer can come back and say, all right, what did you do to make sure that this was Amnon Nissan?
Right.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's also, electronically, it's got to verify that this transmission, not that somebody just gave you a certificate. I mean, that's like me giving you the good housekeeping seal of approval. That doesn't mean anything in an individual transaction.
Well, it does mean something for the customer who wants to walk to that store and sees that seal on it and say, oh,
see,
I can walk
true.
In there.
But it doesn't
mean
that you can create a store that looks as good as IBM's and costs you $150 a month.
All right.
That's the scary thing about the net. Is in the real world, you can walk up to the Office Depot store and you can say, this is Office Depot.
Uh-huh.
On the net, you may well be looking at a completely fraudulent site, a site that makes you think it's IBM.com, but it really isn't IBM.com.
Right, exactly.
It's a complete fraudulent operation.
But we don't need certificate authorities to prove that.
You do. What the certificate does is...
You need Kerberos. Which has been here for years.
Kerberos gives you absolutely no indication of identity.
Oh, no. Exactly. It's exactly what it does. Host-to-host authentication. It
right,
does
so
not scale well to large networks.
So you have a perfectly secure channel with you have no idea who.
Oh, no. That is... No.
Jim, why was it never used as such until certificates came about?
Well, Kerberos has been around for 1988.
Absolutely.
It does not scale well to global and extremely large networks, medium networks.
Then put it aside right there.
But
that's the answer.
But it's in netware already. I mean, there and it does exactly...
Which is telling how many copies compared to NZ.
And with many, you know. Yeah, no,
right now,
and with many, absolutely.
That's another thing.
Know, yeah.
But the point, and here's another problem. Before we get off certificate authorities onto something else, like Kerberos, for instance, which we probably don't want to do.
We don't want to get into
But that gets too technical. But here's the problem with certificate authorities. One is, I never heard of Mark's company until we started to set this up. There's
uh-huh.
a U.S. company that does the same thing, which has already been mentioned, I think, VeriSign.
VeriSign.
I know of. How do I know that a certificate's any good? I'll give you an example. I was at, in August, the National Institute of Standards and Technology had an e-commerce digital signature standard forum, and when I stood up at the end, I said, I see one major problem here. First place is the U.S. government is not looking to regulate it on a national basis. Who can be a certificate authority, and what do you have to do to become one? It's going to be left up to 50 states. Now, how, for instance, is South Africa going to deal with certificate authorities for which they have no idea of what qualifications? It's going to vary all over the scale. To give you an example, here's the way it needs to be done. I was talking to an East German German representative. They have a government agency that sets the standards that you register as a certificate authority with. Before you can get your certificate issued, they go out and check your practices, policy, procedures, do penetration testing of your network to see if it's valid. In other words, can I penetrate it and get your certificate authority database? And then once all those requirements are met, you're given a certificate authority license, and then they can penetration test you and do random testing of your network anytime they want to. And in the U.S., we're proposing none of that. I mean...
Let me say something. I think it's the same thing. You're going to school to become a doctor.
Yeah, but you got to pass a medical exam before you can go out
I know. So
and
you
treat
pass
me.
It in South Africa, or you pass it in California, or you pass it in any of the states. That doesn't mean that you're a good doctor.
No, but it means
what
that you come from South Africa to the United States is that you got to be pass another board certification, basically.
You can't just start
practicing medicine in the U.S. if you come from another country.
And this is new. How long did it take? I mean, people could have done it years ago.
Right.
Now that there is more problems, then there are those exams. Nobody says that the company that thought is not better as far as their integrity than VeriSign. We don't know it.
We do.
Because nobody checked for it. Now, wait a second. The thing that will... set the standard is the public and the companies who, as more companies like Mark come out in the world and in on the net, then they say, oh, you know, that company is worthless. I mean, and you hear more and more, oh, they don't know what they're doing. Fine. By default, they're out of the picture. And the ones who are good
right,
are
going
to rise to the top and
right.
going to be there. And that's what's going to happen.
That's the way business works. But is the whole system going to collapse when you have two big transactions? They're using certificate authorities, and they turn out to be bogus.
I think what you, Jim, your way is great, but I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to make it perfect right off the bat, and I don't think it's going to work. I think
but you want to use the software vendor's way of doing it. We throw junky software out there and let the users debug it.
Jim, with all due respect, you've missed the boat in a really big way. Your thinking is like 5-10 years ago. It used
no,
to be
it's
that
not. You haven't built security in your network.
It used to be that people thought that you would have one key that you generated and then carried around in a smart card, and that key was your identity. And sure, in that environment, you want that key to be certified typically by your nation state. It's like your digital equivalent of a passport. And that key would then get you into all the different services and let you do all your different banking type infrastructure transactions. That is just not the way it's going to work. We're looking at a world where anybody from your local radio station to your home website can issue a certificate instantaneously right off the bat. And in an environment like that...
Oh, that scares the hell out of me.
No, that's the way it should be. Because,
no, it
no,
should not be that
no
way.
No one is going to trust a certificate, okay?
I'm not going to trust that anybody can issue it.
They have been
Jimmy,
through the
go ahead,
sort of serious belief, you know, a review of what goes into issuing that certificate. For example, that newspaper example, right? If CNN.com issues me with a certificate, okay, and I present that to my bank, the bank's going to say, sorry, chum, come back and get a cert from someone that we trust, which is probably actually only going to be that bank. In other words, institutions are going to use certificates to identify their customers back to themselves. It's not going to be the sort of world where you have these authorities, and this is, you know, unfortunately we get called certificate authorities, and that word should never have been used. We're not authoritative. We're not God. Right? We're not trying to set ourselves up to be the conveyors of all trust.
Yeah, you are.
No, we're not.
That's the
VeriSign is doing
why
that.
Why else
we,
do you have...
We're not doing that.
Why else
we,
do you give a certificate?
No.
It certifies something. Certificates certify something.
Yes, they do. When we issue a web service certificate, we are certifying that the holder of that certificate has that legal name in that space, and that is their key. Okay, that's what we're certifying. When your bank issues you with a SEC certificate, they are certifying that you as are a cardholder of theirs, and you have access to a particular bank account, which is referenced in a blinded fashion, but it is contained, that information is contained in
mm-hmm.
that SEC certificate.
Right.
When CNN.com issues you with a certificate, they are saying that you are one of their customers, and you can come back anytime and view their site. So you've got to see a world in which certification is really just a tool that's used at all sorts of different levels. Now, within that infrastructure, yes, there is going to be a need for national level, international level certification infrastructure so that if I, as IBM, want to do business with Telecom Italia, all right, we can immediately set up a trusted, secure link across the net. Now, yes, that sort of level of certification should be regulated, and we're actively working all around the world with institutions to set up those regulation infrastructures. But let me say this. The state of Washington passed laws governing certification. They've had not one single CA apply to be a registered licensed CA in the state of Washington. Why? Because the thing doesn't work if trust is fragmented. The thing only works if there are nice, clean levels or channels of authentication. Within the internet server market, those channels of authentication are determined by the vendors. You have confidence in our security, right? Because Microsoft and Netscape have reviewed our security, and they've said that we're good enough to issue certificates that their browsers will accept. That within that industry, that is how that playing field has emerged. Within the banking industry, it will be different. Within the news industry, it will be different. To think that we need one overarching legislation that issues all certificates would destroy the certification industry.
Yeah, but what's equally scary is you say anybody and everybody can set themselves up as a place that issues certificates.
Sure.
A certificate authority.
Sure.
What? I mean,
if I'm not going to set themselves up as a printing shop and issue credit cards.
We need to break away for another commercial, but I'll leave it with that thought. Maybe my example with the doctor was the wrong one. Mechanic. Anybody can open a shop and work on cars. That doesn't mean that they're good mechanics. Your calls are coming up next on the station that wants to pay your rent or mortgage and your car payment, 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, and we're talking with Jim Settle of Settle Services and Technology, and with Mark Shuttleworth of Thought Consulting, talking about computer security. Let's go. Jim, you had something to say when we went out to commercial. We were talking about the certificates and how...
Over the break, I think one thing we need to clarify here is there's a couple of ways, there are different ways of looking at this issue, and I think we hit on the difference that we found. One is what we're talking about when we talk about certificate authorities. at least from the perspective that NIST is putting out in the United States, is we're talking about transaction certificates. We're not talking about host-to-host certificates. That's part of the process, yes, but the more important one that the U.S. is looking at is the individual transaction. We're actually certifying that this transaction is a real transaction. Again, not that the content inside that transaction is any more real than it would be if it was on paper, but at least it's
certified the transaction. Let me paint you a scenario. In the real world, we have notes. We have financial paper. And that financial paper is issued by banks, and other banks will generally accept financial paper from banks that they trust. Now, if NIST goes and defines a national U.S. policy for issuing certificates, and I then say, here's my electronic financial paper, do you think any bank's going to accept it? Not a chance.
No.
Absolutely not a chance. What will happen is that the banks will get together and they will determine internally the infrastructure that they will use to issue certificates to themselves, which they can then trust as a financial community. In other words, we will see industry-specific policies and infrastructure created to issue certificates. And that is the only way it will actually work. The people who are going to be depending upon those certificates have some sort of input into the policies that go into the issuing of those certificates.
Okay, I agree with those statements. I think that it's important to note that we're talking about a little bit different animals when you and I are talking. You're talking about a host-to-host level. I'm talking about more of a transaction-to-transaction certificate. As long as we make sure, we got to be talking apples and apples. At the host-to-host level, there's a definite need. The one thing out there in network security that does not exist is being able to verify a host on these large global networks. Kerberos does it up to a point, but it does not cover global and internet-type companies and all that type of thing.
So if you think that is a particular vertical market, a niche market, then that is exactly what we do. We satisfy that vertical market. We don't purport to issue certificates which could then be used by you to sign an electronic check. We're in no position to do that.
Well, that's important. That just came out when we were in the break, so I thought it'd be a good idea to point that out to the public that's listening to us here. Is we're talking about some slightly different things, so make sure we're talking apples and apples. So understand what you're actually talking Kerberos at the higher level that certifies it. If I think I'm talking to a computer in Paris from Raleigh, that in fact it says this is in fact that host machine sitting in Paris.
Now, what would be really useful to have at sort of national and international levels is clearly defined guidelines for the evaluation of the certifying authority's performance and security. In other words, a clearly defined continuum that says, do you do this to protect your keys? Do you do that to protect your network?
Right.
And then we as certifying authorities could go to the particular industry. Say we wanted to get into the banking industry. We could say to banks, we're a certifying authority. This is where we fall onto this scale, this internationally recognized scale. We'd like to issue the certificates upon which you build your businesses. That is what we really need, is a common language for talking about the security. And unfortunately, we don't have that, and I don't think we're going to have that for a very, very long time. If you look at the German legislation that's just gone into place, their criteria and methods for determining what you have to do to be a German legal CA is very different to what Utah has, is very different to what Washington has. And the result of that is going to be people simply ignoring the legislation and working on an industry-by-industry basis.
Right. And by the way, this is one place where Europe is really way ahead of the United States, is at least the European community has been working for a number of years on setting standards for all of Europe and how to deal with electronic everything, which I think is good.
This is what I was saying, that the way that these things will actually become more, if you want to call it, regulated companies will
standardized is more important by
evolution and not by somebody says this is the way it should be. Because there's a lot of things we still don't know about what could happen. And the only way is to let the masses in on it and let it fail and let it blow up. And people will say, okay, here's something we have to plug in. Here's something. And it's just like everything else in the computer. You know, we're probably in an alpha stage right now. And we'll get into beta. And when it becomes, maybe again, not in our lifetime. I don't know. It will be the right thing to do. And then everything will be standard. And you'll know exactly how it's supposed to happen and what it's going to do. Today, because nobody takes the... what's the word I'm looking for? Nobody takes the bull by the horn and says, this is how we're doing it. Initiative. We have to depend on people like Mark to come up and say, here's the way to do it. And I think
But we don't want to do it this way. Why do we want to do it this way? This is like the software company...
You know what? Jim, you
no,
don't.
I don't.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Why don't you do it in your way and become a CA and say, here, this is really the right way to do it. That doesn't mean that the world will believe you, but there'll be another way. There'll be a Jim certificate that say, I know what I'm doing. Here is what it is. And then you take some of Mark's and some of Jim's and some of VeriSign and some of my aunt somewhere, and it will be a standard.
But this is not the way we want to do this. First place with my company, answer your second question first. What would it prove if one company does it? Not much in this world. Let's just back to the original question, which you started with, was do we treat this like some companies have been accused of putting software out on the market?
Mm-hmm.
Is, hey, it's imperfect. They know it. They throw it out there and let the users debug
right.
it. People are complaining like crazy about this.
Right.
Are we going to do this in a world where we're trying to get people to really believe in the confidence level of the machines they're talking to?
We have no choice.
We do. We have a choice. And I agree, it's not regulatory. It's a standard setting. What do you got to do to... You're an ISP provider. You run one. What does it take to be an ISP today? Plus your money down and you're connected.
Absolutely.
That's all there is.
Absolutely. And that's why they come and go. That's why we've been around for years.
Right. Some have been around for years. Yeah. Some haven't. Some are run out of basements.
Right.
A lot of them are run out of basements.
But the thing is, here again is that you're saying, is this the way we want to do it? And I want to pick on this. I'm quoting you. Is this the way we really want to do it?
No.
We are not doing it. Mark is doing it. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. Larry didn't do it. Nobody is doing it. VeriSign did it. Then came Mark, and he did it.
Right. Because we don't know which came first. I don't know.
He
may have been first.
The point is that this company tried to do it.
Right.
We're talking about, no, that's not the right way, but we don't have a better way that we can actually implement and do it, because nobody's going to come to us and say, I want a certificate from you. It takes a little bit of authority somehow to be in a position where thought is for people to come to them and say, I would like a certificate from you. Just like people go to VeriSign and say, I would like a certificate from you. If I become a CA tomorrow, you think people are going to come to me and say, I'd like a certificate from you? First, I want to see.
So the people you know might.
Right. So
what I know.
But this is how it's going to grow and grow and grow. And then the companies that are doing it right, and nobody's doing it right, in my opinion, all the way. And I'm sure Thought looks at others and they keep adding features or points of checking how a company is or whatever to their set of guidelines, and the same thing with VeriSign, and they develop the feature that they're providing the customer, and it's evolving into something that even Jim Settle with, and you're very security conscious, and I love this, but you can look at it and say, that's not the right thing, because you already know how it is, just like a doctor looking at somebody with a cold and say, that's pneumonia. But if that person was just in the middle of the street and nobody knows, oh, he's got a cold, and nobody would pay attention until he gets pneumonia and he goes in the hospital, and then the people that were around say, oh, so if we see somebody like that, we know they have pneumonia, so we'll take action next time around. And that's the evolution of the things.
Which is the point is why government probably can't regulate this, because it's too slow in reacting, just because of just your saying, the evolving technology.
Absolutely. And they can try all they want.
Who can do it in the private arena?
Jim.
Not Triple E, maybe.
He's already said. I mean, Mark slipped something in that we talked about briefly on the break. The certified authorities are the browser companies, Microsoft and Netscape, because that's the tools that everyone uses to access the net are these tools. And they're the people who come to him and he goes to. So we've already defaulted to these companies, which is scarier than even the government.
But let's look at it from the business perspective. Mm-hmm. From the user perspective, almost all of us use browsers.
Right.
From the business perspective, that's not the vehicle that's used to conduct
business. Not yet. Not yet.
That's not the way companies are
going to be. I don't think it's going to be.
You underestimate Microsoft.
I don't think browsers are going to be the GUI interface that's going to connect all companies together.
But the point
it's Win95 and WinNT.
In any given environment, certain industry sectors will set the policies. In the browser environment, in the current web environment, it's the guys who supply the browsers who've effectively set the policies that we as certifying authorities have to match up to. Say we get medical insurance, the medical insurance community creating an industry-wide application, right? Then they would set the policies for people to be certifying authorities within that environment. That's the only way it can work. I just wanted to say something about you saying that this is not the way we want to do it.
We agree because we're now talking apples and apples. Before, I was an orange and you were an apple.
Well, I agree. I mean, hold on to the other point. You were right. So you're talking about individual transaction certificate or security, and what Mark does is certify that I'm the guy doing this. Doesn't say anything about what I'm doing.
Mark, I just wanted to say this is a field that is evolving in terms of the way people look at it very, very quickly. Let's just take a snapshot. 2 years ago, if the whole world had come together and said, let's set the standards for being a certifying authority, they would have got it wrong. Why? Because people hadn't actually played with the technology long enough to see how it's going to be used in practice and therefore how best to legislate it. We have radically changed the way people look at service certificates because until we came onto the market, they only had one place to go. And this is why I think it would be really, really wrong to legislate the entire certification market right up front, because not enough people understand it. I don't think we understand it fully. And what is needed is a healthy competitive environment after which people can sit back and then say, well, we have learned from experience that this is one way of doing it, that's another way of doing it, and these are suited to different type environments. My own feeling is that a certifying authority should be evaluated according to two things. Firstly, the security of its own integral systems. In other words, how well it manages its keys and how well it manages its network. And secondly, the procedures that it follows to validate identity in the case where it is being asked to actually make some assertion as to the identity of the party being certified. Now, I don't think that's going to be even 10% of certification in the real world in 10 years' time. I think that most CAs will act as repositories for information and they'll certify information that other people have given them, in which case the most important thing is the practices that they follow to manage their key. And we will only have really good indications as to the best business practices for key management over the next 5 to 10 years. Okay. So stand up so right now and legislate it is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I still think we need to emphasize that in the U.S., certificate authorities to most people, I mean, I spent a full day in this one conference, and we're talking about not only what you're talking about, but certificate authority also means transaction authority, digital signature standard, too. So, I mean, and we come from two different countries where the definitions are different. So, and the restricted thing, let me ask you one question, though.
I just want to say that I'm quite involved in the process for setting policy.
You mean we got to wait for a break?
We have to get out to a break. We are a minute early, but I don't want to get into something that we can't finish. Your calls are coming up. We're having fun. And look at it. 2 hours almost went by.
Need more.
Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment. 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. And we're talking with Jim Settle of Settle Service and Technology and with Mark Shuttleworth of Thought Consulting. Larry Dial is here, and I'm Nissan, your host. Guys, go ahead.
There was a question. Question I wanted to ask the Mark here, and I think it helps us to understand a little bit about what we're talking about. The beauty of radio is you have to envision things in your mind, so we're going to ask you to do that a little bit.
Can't raise my hand.
You can't raise your hand.
We call it theater of the mind.
That wasn't his hands he's raised. He actually got out of his chair.
Oh no!
But here's what I'd like to envision: Kerberos, for instance, if Larry's one machine and I'm another machine and Amon is another machine. Essentially, if I establish a connection with Amon, it verifies that connection in the beginning. And we won't get into the technical terms for all this. But if we are on there for 24 hours, I can set it up so that every 6 hours it will verify that, in fact, I'm still connected to Amon. And if Larry gets in on the thing, the same thing happens. I don't have to wait for the connections to stop. And, of course, immediately with Kerberos, when you disconnect and reconnect, then it goes through the same verification process all over again from the beginning. And as a certificate authority, are you doing something like that? Because remember, I'm saying Kerberos only goes so far up in the network, and
Kerberos works on the basis that you have an authentication server which you set up on the network, and you tell it about each of the other players who may be talking to one another. So if you've got a local area network with 150 machines on it, you set up a Kerberos server, which then will play authentication policeman for conversations between any of those machines. Certification works very, very differently. It's done on the assumption that you don't want to have to refer to a third party when you initiate a secure conversation. So what we do is, it works as follows. The one of the servers, and it doesn't have to be both of them, one of the servers with whom other people are going to have a secure conversation, in other words, the server that wants to be authenticated, will obtain a certificate. In other words, it'll generate a key, and it'll submit that key for certification along with some identity information. We will then validate the identity and certify the key. If somebody wants to communicate with that server at any time, they connect to the server and ask it to present its certificate, and they can validate the signature, they can validate the validity of that certificate in real time without reference to us. They don't have to connect to our server to say, is this a valid certificate? Because they can verify the signature on that certificate, and then they can initiate a secure conversation with that server instantaneously. Now, that's important on the Internet, where you have no guarantee that any authentication server is going to be up and running in real time. Now, the downside to that is that the certificate is valid for a year, which means that if we issue a certificate to an organization and their key is compromised, for example, a system administrator leaves, then he can take that key and certificate with him and create a perfectly forged IBM.com. We issued it to IBM.com. It was their key. It was their identity. And now, because of an internal problem, that certificate could be abused. The answer there is yes, we can provide a real-time validation service. And in fact, there's a whole industry starting now, started by a little company called Valicert, which does this. They collect what we call revocation lists from the certifying authorities, and they will do real-time. They will answer the question in real-time, is this still a valid cert, mm-hmm. or has it been revoked? The answer to your question then is, certification is different to Kerberos because it doesn't require a real-time authentication server to be configured to know about all the different parties, which means it works in a global environment. But it's similar in the sense that we can establish a secured connection and not have to keep revalidating that connection unless we choose to. You can choose to discard the session for every single transaction, or you can keep that session and reuse it.
Really. Okay.
So, all right. We need to take Gene is back here online. Good morning.
Hi, I guess you're down to a fundamental question. Do you want the government to do certification, or do you want private groups to? If Adnan wants to open up a TV station, he has to get the government to approve it, grant license, and everything else. For him to start an ISP, he doesn't need the government.
Right.
And I guess what we're looking at, though, in 10 years, this will all have evolved into something else. Do we want the Microsoft to take over, or will in 10 years another company who we don't even know about will be the leading players? I think if you don't keep if you keep government out, you'll have a lot of ups and downs. If you have the government in, then you'll have the Exxon bill about discrimination and pornography, and you'll have everything else. I think we have the choice has to be government or no government.
No government.
And then you'll have to live with the ups and downs.
There's room for a healthy balance. I mean, we started tentatively talking about the CDA, the Communications Decency Act. And I have to say that despite being a vicious proponent of free speech and privacy, I think that there's definitely room for government to lay policy around the net. You know?
But how can that
be? I don't agree.
There's 100 governments, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. The U.S. cannot legislate the Internet, nor can South Africa, nor can any other country.
No, but I would maintain that the U.S. has the right to legislate the way servers are configured within the U.S. And I think that the answer is minimalism. To say it's wrong, you may not have any, you know, porn is, without question, a violation of free speech. But to say, right, we need to have the ability to have free speech, and we need a consistent way to be able to enforce the same policies that we have in the real world. In the real world, you don't expect to find a pawn shop I don't know the states, but you wouldn't expect to find one in an upmarket suburb.
It depends what country you're in.
Yeah, but an extra name is going to be right on the main street.
Within the U.S.
Yeah,
I would maintain that a nation has sovereignty over its own territory.
If I can listen to the radio tonight and pick up South Africa, then the sovereignty's gone.
Yeah, let me give you an issue that I think really highlights the problem that we're dealing with here. A year and a half ago, I was in Germany. At that time, CompuServe was being wrestled with by the German government because you could get pornography through CompuServe, which was acting as strictly an ISP in this case.
Right.
Now, it was interesting when I went over there, listen to some of the German people who are in the electronic world and deal with it every day. It has nothing to do with that. What they were telling me, so guess what this issue is all about? The porn capital of Germany is Munich.
Mm-hmm.
Where was this issue raised? In Munich. The reason was people could get pornographic material free now.
Right.
the pornographic shops couldn't get money.
Ah.
And that's what the real issue was.
Yeah, I think to live with a free market system, you have to live with the excesses, which a lot of them are going to be bad.
Okay.
Or they could be good. Everything is not bad. But,
yeah.
You know, the bad's going to happen. It's part of it, like you said.
All right.
A lot of good benefits come from all this, too. And it's like we were talking about, the ability with one guy to find out about his car instantaneously almost, which we couldn't do 2 years ago.
Let's see. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
I almost gave up.
Uh-oh.
This is the version we have to have.
Let's go for it.
Roll it.
Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Yes, go for it.
Okay. You like catalogs? You want to buy some stuff?
Sure.
Everything from business to business, electronics, apparel, gifts, home, family, whatever. Check out cataloglink.com.
Okay.
Pick up your favorite catalog. You going to have a baby?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
none of us here qualify for that.
If you're going to check out Parent Soup's Baby Name Finder. That's right. They have the Find-O-Matic, the Finder Potpourri, the Popularity Finder, and the Find What's in a Name. So I checked out Larry.
Uh-oh.
And Larry is a two-syllable boy's name of Latin Teutonic origin, meaning victoriously crowned with laurels. Entertainers with this name include...
Let's not get in.
There we go. Okay, here we go.
Don't give him the big head now.
If you're tired of your southern accent and you want to learn how to speak Cockney, you bloke, check out Cockney.com. Gives you all the Cockney slang and tells you how to say it.
Okay.
Hey, have you been sitting around saying, what does my phone number spell?
No, but
well,
every now and then.
You can check out what your phone number spells at phonespell.org.
Okay.
And that's about it. You can do there. There's this guy that's got a curse, and he's at earthlink.net, and he wants everybody to help rid him of his curse. go to this site and hit make an offering. God knows what this guy's thinking.
He wants money.
Probably so.
We need Mark to verify it.
All right.
You want to see a real hot site? Pepperfest. Pepperfest, put on by Tabasco.com. Everything you didn't want to know about Tabasco, where to get it, what to do when you have too much. That's right. That's where it is. And coming up for Christmas, the Holiday Wish Contest, put on by Sears Portrait Studio. Register each week to win a prize, basically for kids, unless you want a little tykes automobile.
Of course.
But it's free. Register, get the kids something. What do you know? Hey,
yes.
How much you paying for your long-distance service? Let me tell you, have I got a deal for you? Only 9.9 cents per minute. That's right. Tel3@bro.com will save you money on your long-distance service, and you don't even have to hang up on them. And lastly, if you want radio, and more radio, go to netradio.net. We can find all sorts of radio right on the net.
Oh, you need audio player, right? A real audio?
Something like that.
All right.
Either that, and that's it in under 3 minutes or less. Have a good week.
Wow, you did.
Wait a minute. You missed the important one, though.
Which was that?
The Sunbeam Opal Gas Cap .com.
Yeah, what happened to it, Marshall?
What Sunbeam? What are you talking about?
That was an earlier caller.
Oh, I missed that.
You don't listen to the show?
Well, today we've been busy doing other things.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much, Mick Helena. Thank you very much.
Have a good week.
Take care.
Thanks for calling us, 50 The Buzz. He did it real fast. And all these links are available, are going to be available later on today on www.850thebuzz.com. Look on the Computers 97 section, and you can just click on them. And we're running out of time here. We have 2 minutes.
Ready, quick.
I want to, yeah.
I want to.
You don't have to say that.
Of course I do. I already said it.
Okay, thank you. J. Mark, I want to thank you. Again, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, you're on the web.
Right. You want my email address?
Where can they find you, or if you can give your phone number out?
We'll give you the phone number and the email address. It's Settle, SETTLE, at netcom, netcom.com. And the phone number, if you want to go over that.
Sure.
We're not going to get snail mail here.
No.
It's 703-569-0011. And that's in Springfield, Virginia.
And companies can call you and hire you to make sure they're networks are secured in, or find out how secure they are.
That's right.
And Mark, I know you don't, your company is not really working directly with the public. It's mostly through ISPs, or am I wrong? Now with private certificate or individual certificates.
We do both. We issue directly.
And your U.S. office is right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah, boy, am I feel so good about that. And
me too.
And how do they get in touch with Thought Consulting if they need to get in touch with?
Well, if they're looking for a service certificate, easiest is thought.com.
www.thought.com. And Thought is spelled not like the thought that
this,
we're
this
thinking.
This is our biggest FAQ.
Yeah.
how do you spell that?
It's T-H-A-W-T-E, thought.com.
T-H...
A-W.
When somebody I say Taute.
We get a lot of poetry.
Yeah.
So, by the way, Amon, since you made a big deal out of him being based in Raleigh,
yeah.
I grew up in Asheville.
All right.
Yes, that's right. Jim did. Yep, absolutely.
That's great.
So thought.com, that's where they need to go, and they can get information about certificates.
Yeah.
Okay, well, gentlemen, again, thank you. I can't thank you.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in to Exit to the Buzz and Computers 97. And as usual, practice safe computing, back up your hard drive, and don't forget to use a virus scanner. We'll be back here next Saturday at 8. Until then, keep your dial right here on the station. Want to pay your rent or your mortgage, plus your car payment, 850 The Buzz.